I'll read tonight from John 13. I'm actually going to start in verse 18, not in verse 21, just to set a little bit more of the context. Jesus is speaking here to his disciples. I'm not referring to all of you, but I know those I have chosen, but this is to fulfill the scripture. He who shares my bread has lifted up his heel against me. I'm telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am he. I tell you the truth, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me. His disciples stared at one another, at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, ask him which one he means. So leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish. Then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. What you are about to do, do quickly, Jesus told him. But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the feast, or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. When he was gone, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. The saying goes, with friends like these, who needs enemies? Of the 12 closest friends that Jesus had, of his 12 chosen disciples, the people who had walked with him all of those months and years, who had seen all of his miracles and had heard all of his teachings and had known that he is who he says he is, of all of those 12, two of them turned out to be sort of rotten eggs. One of them denied him. One of them betrayed him. Two of them were enemies and not friends. But what is unbelievable about the story of Jesus and how he deals with these two, Judas and Peter, it's that Jesus shows love even to those who will betray him and deny him. He does not kick them out or exclude them or rebuke them for what they do. Instead, he shares a meal with them. When we share meals together with each other or with other people, we're breaking down the walls that divide us. This is one reason why it's important for churches to eat around tables together on a regular basis, so that we can show that we are all on the same playing field. We are all one in Christ. That's why I try to encourage people to not just sit with their family members when we have potlucks, you know, mix it up a little bit so that we can break down whatever walls might be dividing us. To share a meal with someone is a crucial means of showing equality fellowship. It's why world leaders need to sit down at the table and share a meal together. That's why those meetings get publicized, because when world leaders do it, so their country people should do it too. At least they should consider themselves to be equals. Jesus shares a meal with his disciples, and he loves them. Not just in the emotional sense, but in the active sense of washing their feet, of sacrificing himself even, of dedicating himself to their purposes. Just as Jesus eats with Judas, dips the bread in the dish and gives him the food, so Jesus loves Peter in a bold way, telling him that even though he will deny him, he'll still be one of his. Jesus loves even those who will love him less in return. In short time, Judas will kill himself. He won't even live to see Jesus raised from the dead, which happens just a few days later. What if he had waited? And Peter has a completely different ending to his story. Of course, he is restored to fellowship with Jesus after the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Peter is restored into fellowship. And Jesus asks him, do you love me? Three times he asks him, just as Peter had denied Jesus three times, do you love me? See, the test of fellowship is not just being in presence with Jesus, but loving him. Do you love me? Three times. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. It's no surprise then that Jesus gives his new command here in John 13. Love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. In the way that I have loved you, you must love one another. It's a lesson that Judas missed. It's a lesson that Peter learned. We are gathered here to participate in these two ordinances, what we call these rituals, I suppose, of our faith. Two of the three, the third being baptism. The Lord's Supper and foot washing are the two that we will participate in tonight. Both of those are expressions of love for each other and expressions of love for Jesus. Foot washing is very obviously an expression of love for each other, for if we did not love each other, we wouldn't even look at each other's feet, let alone touch them, right? It takes real love to wash somebody's feet. But gathering around the Lord's table is an act of love for each other too, because again, we're gathering around a table and eating a meal together, and we wait for each other, and we eat the same food and drink the same drink, and it shows that we are one in Christ. It's an act of love for each other. And in the same way, both of these ordinances are expressions of love for Jesus. They're acts of obedience. We follow in his footsteps. We obey his commands. We remember his life, his death, his resurrection. These are opportunities for us to align ourselves with the approach that Jesus had to the people who were around him. He shared this meal with his disciples. He washed his disciples' feet. And on this night, we will imitate him by repeating those acts with each other. I'd like to share a song with you tonight before we do that, though. This is one that is not in the hymnal. It's in other hymnals. It's entitled, My God, I Love Thee. Its lyrics date back to the 16th century, perhaps even earlier than that. It originally was written by someone who wrote in either Latin or Spanish. Again, we're not sure which language these lyrics started in. The author is unknown, lost to the sands of time. But the lyrics were translated into English in the mid-1800s, and since then it has been set to a number of different tunes. It's in the Common Meter, 8686, like O God, Our Help in Ages Past, one of the songs we sang tonight, like Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, like the theme to Gilligan's Island. There are many different tunes that are all Common Meter tunes, and this is one of them. that this tune has, or these lyrics have been set to. Six verses describing how I should love Christ because of his love for us, for me. My God, I love thee not because I hope for heaven thereby, nor yet because if I love not, I must forever die. Now, O my Jesus, thou didst me upon the cross embrace, for me didst bear the nails and spear and manifold disgrace, and griefs and torments numberless, and sweat of agony, in death itself, and all for man who was thine enemy. Then why, O blessed Jesus Christ, should I not love thee well? Not for the sake of winning heaven, nor of escaping hell, not with the hope of gaining aught, not seeking a reward, but as thyself hast loved me, O everlasting Lord, so would I love thee, dearest Lord, and in thy praise will sing, because thou art my loving God and my eternal King. Why should we love the Lord? Because he loves us. No other reason than that. Let us follow the example of Jesus in serving each other, in serving our enemies, in giving ourselves away. Let us love Jesus by loving each other, by sharing in a feast together, by washing each other's feet, and by walking with each other through these final moments of Jesus' life.